हरि ओ
सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 17, Pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in His Youth. In this chapter, we shall, page 75, in this chapter we shall find descriptions of the mango distribution festival and Lord Chaitanya's discourses with Chankazi. Finally, the chapter shows that the same son of Mother Jashoda, Lord Krishna, tasted four transcendental mellows of devotional service in his form of Sachinandana, the son of Mother Sachi. To understand Srimati Radharani's ecstatic love for him, Lord Krishna assumed the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The attitude of Srimati Radhi is considered, Sri Radharani, is considered the super excellent devotional mentality. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself assumed the position of Srimati Radharani. To taste her ecstatic situation, no one else could do this. When Sri Krishna assumed the form of the four-armed Narayana, the gopis showed their respect, but they were not very interested in him. In the ecstatic love of the gopis, all worshipable forms but Krishna are rejected. Among all the gopis, Srimati Radharani has the highest ecstatic love. When Krishna, in his form of Narayana, saw Radharani, he could not keep his position as Narayana. Then again he assumed the form of Krishna. The king of Brajabhumi is Nanda Maharaj, and the same person in Navadvip is Jagannath Misra, the father of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Similarly, Mother Jashoda is the queen of Brajabhumi, and in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, she is Sachi Mata. Therefore, the son of Sachi is the son of Jashoda. Sri Nityananda occupies an ecstatic position of parental love and servitude and fraternal attraction. Sri Advaita Prabhu exhibits the ecstasy of both fraternity and servitude. While the Lord's other associates, situated in their original love, engage in the service of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
He said about Nityananda and Advaita, servitude and fraternity. What is the difference?
Fraternity is friendship. So in other words, it means friendship and dasya. Well, Nityananda has the point of parental servitor and friendship. See, it's because you have is like Balaram Prabhu. He is in that friendship rasa, but he's elder. So there's that aspect of the fraternal, right, of parental. Like that. At the same time as he's serving, because he's taking care of all the arrangements,
yes.
You know, through his energies.
Yes.
In the pastime, he interacts with Krishna, but through his energies, he takes care of everything.
Yes.
So Dvaitacharya then has friendship and servitorship. Right? Does that make sense? So then he's tasting the mood of conjugal love of Radharani, which she has. Mother Jashoda has the parental. Nityananda has parental friendship and servitorship,
yes.
And Advaitacharya has friendship and servitorship.
Yes.
And then the other is, it says, situated in their original love. Then that's how then they interact.
Yes.
In the same absolute truth who enjoys as Krishna, Shyamasundara, who plays his flute and dances with the gopis, sometimes takes birth in a Brahmin family and plays the part of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Accepting the renounced order of life, It appears contradictory that the same Krishna accepted the ecstasy of the gopis. And of course, this is very difficult for an ordinary person to understand. But if we accept the inconceivable energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we can understand that everything is possible. There is no need of mundane arguments in this connection, because mundane arguments are meaningless in regard to two inconceivable potency. At the end of the 17th chapter, Srila Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami, following in the footsteps of Srila Vyasadeva, has summarized all the Adyalila pastimes separately. So then we see is that that Vyasadeva will also do it. He'll explain all the things, then he'll give a summary. You know, and before they start, then they'll give an opening and give, you know, an idea of the chronology. He mentions that these things will be happening. Then they're explained, then he'll give a summary. Shloka Anusharanam. Summary of verses. Verses 1 to 274. Lord Chaitanya's Yovana Lila, age 16 to 24. Verses 275 to 312, Lord Chaitanya as Brajendra Nandana. And 313 to 336, summary of Adi Lila. Verses 1 to 274, Lord Chaitanya's Yovana Lila, age 16 to 24. 117.1. Let me offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even unclean yavanas become perfectly well-bred gentlemen by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Such is the power of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada. There is a persistent misunderstanding between caste Brahmins and advanced Vaishnavas, or Goswamis, because caste Brahmins or Smartas are of the opinion that one cannot become a Brahmin unless he changes his body, right? Because they're taking it that the body is the Brahmin element. But what is being missed is that it's the mentality of the living entity and their activities that have produced that they're born in a Brahmin family, right? So it's mentality. So you change if the mentality changes, then, you know, they wouldn't take birth in a Brahmin family, right? The mentality is in a particular way, they take birth in a Brahmin family. Does that make sense? So it's the mentality there. So why they think it's the birth itself, right? So you can see is that it's not using the intelligence. So even though they're very, you know, fixed on following the rules and regulations and all that, they're also then fixed in this position that unless you're born into these families, because otherwise, what would be their position? Right? Because if it wasn't by birth, you might not be able to tell that they're Brahmins.
Yes.
By their mentality, their activities, and this and that. Yes?
Yeah, it would be guna has to match the karma. Otherwise,
yes.
By karma, they do have it, but by guna, not necessarily.
Yes. Yes. And then sometimes you see they don't even perform the karma. Like I remember in South India, I mean back, you know, 80s, like that, traveling on the trains down there, all the ticket collectors were all Brahmins. You know, this Chaturvedi, Trivedi, Dwivedi, you know, all these guys. And you know, after they checked everybody, you know, you have hours and hours, they would come and sit in our compartment and just discuss philosophy. Yeah, and they were generally most of them were, you know, from Ramanuja line, like that. And then you ask why they're doing this, because it's stable, you know. You get a pension, it's government, you know, it'll be stable, like that. So it's just, and they would come and sit and talk for hours, literally. You know, and so unless someone new came along, then, you know, they would deal with them. But otherwise, then, so the difficulty comes up is that you don't necessarily see that mentality or see the work. You might see one, you might see the other, but like you said, very rarely both. And so then it has to be, for them it has to be by birth, because if it's by mentality, then they're going to have to work harder. And who wants to work harder? Right? I mean, it's just, you did nothing technically. You just took birth. And then now suddenly now you're the top of the society. So now then, on top of that, you have to actually work and prove yourself as the top of society. Then, you know, who you know, how you say? Nobody's got time for that, right?
So what What happens actually when a mentality like that takes birth in the Brahmana family?
They take advantage of it, they exploit.
Yeah, but wouldn't your mentality decide where you take birth? And so if you take birth in a Brahmana family, usually you would have a Brahminical mentality.
Means that they may have that background, but there's just that desire to be in there. So if you even you remember, like it says, the demons can take birth in there just because they know. Means that there was a position in. I'm not exactly sure. It may be connected with the Parasuram Leela, because after he killed all the Kshatriyas 21 times. Then the children that were born, they were Kshatriyas, but they were of such sattvic mentality that you know they would run everything so nicely that it was like Satya Yuga.
Yeah.
And so everything's going nicely there, but then the problem is the demons also couldn't get any position. No, that's a different thing. Yeah, so the demons, then they're being defeated by the demigods, so they can't get any position. Right? Even though they have more facility in that, there's also that position aspect.
Sure.
So they want to be in the heavenly planets. They always get kicked out. So then it said they started taking birth in any species as long as they could be the leader of it. Like that. So even in the animal species, mm-hmm. They'd be the main elephant or... Yeah. Anything like that. So then it was also then they take birth in the Brahmin families. Because in this way, with the demoniac mentality, they can still lead. It doesn't mean all people born in Brahmin families are that. But it means that the demons can take birth there and then in this way be prestigious and everything like that.
Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati makes the point very nicely in Brahmana and Vaishnava. What makes the Brahmana? Is it the family? Is it the body? Is it the soul? Is it the mentality?
Yeah. Yes.
Is
yes.
Behavior?
Yes. Because the soul is transcendental to all this, and the body it could be anything.
Exactly.
So therefore, it has to be the mentality. So, the mentality, and then what activities you do with that mentality.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
The caste Goswamis.
The caste Goswamis are out there. They consider themselves within the Vaishnava line, the Gaudiya line. But the difficulty is that they have this mentality of it's by birth and that. So because of that, they're technically an Apasampradaya. They're one of the 13 Apasampradayas, the Goswamis. That's why they'll talk Gaudiya philosophy and all these different things and perform activities in that line, just like any of the Apasampradayas, they're all doing something Gaudiya. Right? It means our Apasampradayas, so we're not worried about Ramanandis and all that. So our line, they'll all have something. Some will be more kirtan, some will be more rituals, some will be more shastric or whatever it is, whatever makes them happy. Mm-hmm. Then they do so there's something there, but it's always mixed with something. Mm-hmm. So here is that by birth, then it's not pure. Because the Vedas say then it's by the mentality, by the guna and karma. And so then it's natural, like you said, those taking birth in the Brahmin families, generally speaking, they would be Brahmins. So by the association and by the training, then they would naturally take it up. That's why the child of a Brahmin, you deal with them as a Brahmin. But it's not until they finish their education that you can define actually what they are. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
Krishna consciousness. Can we say that, say,
if someone has good qualities, then good material intelligence can be born in the Brahmana family.
No, it'll be something from before, that they've done something enough to take birth of the family, but they don't have enough piety to actually perform the activities of it. So that's why you see is that generally in most of the schools and this and that, the boys from the Brahmin families, they do very well, right? They have good intelligence, the focus, they have regulation, they have all these things, so they can study and they can do well. Does that make sense? As a basis, generally speaking, you'll see is that those, especially if they're practicing or more recently practicing, then there's quite good qualities there. But the problem is in the contemporary environment, they don't take advantage of that, and they just use it for mundane purpose. And so then the problem is it'll all disappear. That's the difficulty. As we have discussed several times, it is to be understood that by the supremely powerful potency of the Lord, as described by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, everything is possible. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is as fully independent as Krishna. Therefore, no one can interfere with his activities. If he wants, by his mercy, he can convert even a yavana, an unclean follower of non-Vedic principles, into a perfectly well-behaved gentleman. This is actually happening in our propagation of the Krishna consciousness movement. The members of the present Krishna consciousness movement were not born in India, nor do they belong to the Vedic culture. But within the short time of 4 to 5 years, they become such wonderful devotees simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra that even in India they are well received as perfectly well-behaved Vaishnavas wherever they go. Although less intelligent men cannot understand it, this is the special power of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, the body of a Krishna conscious person changes in many ways. Even in the United States, when our devotees chant on the street, American ladies and gentlemen inquire from them whether they are actually Americans, because no one could expect Americans to become such nice devotees all of a sudden. They figure they must be from somewhere else, right? Even Krishna priests are greatly surprised that all these boys from Jewish and Krishna families have joined this Krishna consciousness movement. Before joining, they never regarded any principles of religion seriously. But now they have become sincere devotees of the Lord. Everywhere people express this astonishment, and we take great pride in the transcendental behavior of our students. Such wonders are possible, however, only by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They are not ordinary or mundane. So it's because of the spiritual platform, then that purification is there, they are able to perform in that practice in that position. Because the Brahmana is supposed to know Brahman, is supposed to be absorbed in trying to understand the Supreme Absolute Truth. So then, devotees, by absorbing themselves in Krishna consciousness, that means then there, that's the actual perfection of being a Brahmin. That's what it's for. And so then you see they can behave nicely, the culture is there and everything like that. Some technical things may be there, may not be there, but that's not the main point of devotional service. It's engaging your position and mentality.
It's funny, we perform Harinam in the Middle East outside, and people came and asked us, where are you guys from? And we just jokingly said, we're from India. And obviously we don't look like Hindus.
Right.
But because we're doing what we're doing, people actually believed it, that we're from India.
Okay, nice, nice.
Not many Hindus there.
Not many Hindus there, yeah. Yeah, too much competition, right?
Did you do a fake Hindu accent?
What's that?
Did you do a fake Indian accent? Accent?
Yeah, just shaking the head.
That's enough. Okay, Indian. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. 1:17-7. All glories to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. All glories to Advaita Acharya, and all glories to the devotees of Lord Chaitanya.
I have already given a synopsis of the Kaishora Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now let me enumerate his youthful pastimes in chronological order. Exhibiting his scholarship, beauty, and fine dress, Lord Chaitanya danced and chanted as he distributed the holy name of the Lord to awaken dormant love of Krishna. Thus Lord Sri Gaurasundar shone in his youthful pastimes. As he entered his youth, the Lord decorated himself with ornaments, dressed himself in fine cloth, garlanded himself with flowers, and smeared himself with sandalwood. By dint of pride in his education, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not caring for anyone else, defeated all kinds of learned scholars while executing his duties. In his youth, the Lord exhibited his ecstatic love of Krishna on the plea of disturbances of the bodily airs, accompanied by his confidential devotees. He enjoyed various pastimes in this way. Srila Prabhupada. According to Ayurvedic treatment, the entire physiological system is conducted by three elements, namely vayu, pitta, and kapha, air, bile, and mucus. Secretions within the body transform into other secretions like blood, urine, and stool. But if there are disturbances in the metabolism, the secretions turn into kapha, mucus, by the influence of the air within the body. According to Ayurvedic medicine, when the secretion of bile and formation of mucus disturb the air circulating within the body, 59 varieties of disease may occur. One such disease is craziness. On the plea of disturbance of the bodily air and metabolism, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acted as if crazy. Thus, in his school, he began to explain the grammar of verbs through Krishna consciousness. Explaining everything in grammar in relation to Krishna, the Lord induced his students to refrain from worldly education. For it is better to become Krishna conscious and in this way attain the highest perfectional platform of education. On these grounds, Sri Jiva Goswami later compiled the grammar entitled Hari Namamrita Vyakarana. People in general consider such explanations crazy. Therefore, the Lord's purpose in his attitude of craziness was to explain that there is nothing within our experience but Krishna consciousness, for everything may be dovetailed with Krishna consciousness. These pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have been vividly described in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Lila, Chapter 1, 117.8. Thereafter, the Lord went to Gaya. There he met Srila Ishwara Puri. So things that Prabhupada would talk about on eating, diet, you know, regulation, combinations of food, then you can tell Prabhupada knows what he's talking about. Right? Like that. So that's why whatever he's given, you know, like that, one follows that, it'll work very nicely. Like that. And so then if someone else comes up and they learn something and then they start to argue about it, but these arguments you can't take seriously. I remember one devotee was going through Prabhupada's Gita and the word for word, and he was redoing them because he had learned a little bit of Sanskrit. And so then according to him, then Prabhupada wasn't translating the word for word properly. Like that. You know, because, how you say, you know, Monier Williams is the topmost, you know, a pinnacle of Sanskrit understanding. And so then he redid the words. Like that. A very short time after that, he disappeared from Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Just gone. I don't even think he's come back. So, you know, most people come back after 10, 20 years.
Yeah, it's usually the intellectuals that take the longest, right?
Yeah. More baggage.
Yeah.
It's hard to walk when your head's dragging on the ground. Right? Yes, like this. But whatever it is. So that's the thing, is people learn a little bit and then they get, because nowadays, even if most people are studying Ayurveda, they're learning from people who have studied Ayurveda in the universities. Mm-hmm. And so the universities, they're taking allopath medicine is the medicine system, but you're learning how to use it according to Ayurveda. So they don't actually think as Ayurvedic doctors. You know, they'll talk about this. They can take pulse. Many of them can't. And so they use the same system. What are the symptoms? What are this? They try to treat and all that. Though they're using Ayurveda, the medicines and all that, and some things they do quite well at, and some things it's a little slow. But it won't. They don't understand this fineness here of just there, when the bile and the mucus being off, they disturb the air. That combination will create 59 varieties of diseases, right? And that's if that's going off. Then if you have, you know, how you say mucus and air bothering bile, this, that, you know, so like this, they don't understand all these fine points. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying that, not saying that there aren't devotees who nicely know things, but as long as they're nicely knowing things, aren't challenging things that Prabhupada's given. If they do, then as the tradition, we kick on their face, and I couldn't care less who they are. Yes? It's air. It doesn't mean you can't have a ghost also. You can have both. You know, it's like a bonus. Like that. It's just, the point is, if the mind's weak, then, you know, ghosts can bother you. But it's not necessarily that there are ghosts, that's why it bothers you. Like that. Also, the tantric, they just call anything who has bad vibes, that is ghosts.
It's like the doctors say everything is virus.
Yeah, like that. You know, so therefore, yeah, you just nuke it, and then, you know, you're going to get better. So they just try to kill everything there, and hopefully you survive. And if they did, then job well done, right? Yeah, so all we're saying is that the acharyas give some things, we should stick to what they're saying. And then if other things that come up, we can use that to support that and develop that, then that's great. But we should never use it to oppose. Because otherwise they know what, you know, like you can see, Jiva Goswami knows grammar, so we shouldn't try to come up with something else. You know, stuff like that. So it's just, what the acharyas say, you know, you don't adjust it. You know, like they wanted to re-edit Brahma Samhita so you could actually understand the language. Prabhupada said you can't even change a syllable that's there. You know, so like that.
Is it the same mentality, Maharaj, to not to accept pure devotional service, like the caste brahmana? Is it the same? We can do the same.
Well, you can say it's mundane consciousness,
yes.
Because and mundane consciousness, then you know you take means Ayurveda. You're dealing with mucus, bile, and air,
yes.
Right? And then the combinations of that: 3 times 3 is 9, times 9 is 81. Like this, then you go. And so in this way, you get all the variety of diseases. And in the same way you go, you get all the species of life. You know what I'm saying? So the point is, this mundane consciousness will generate some kind of aberration in the natural development of the consciousness of the soul. And so you're going to end up with something mundane. Like that. But exactly which it is. But it's this idea that you could say is that they know better, I'm intelligent, and this and that. But, you know, that's just any time when someone puts more value in the intelligence. Someone else will put it in the emotion, someone else in the senses, someone else into money, someone else into power, and like that. So it's all varieties of the mundane consciousness. It's just there's a value, and so that's why then they make their endeavor. But what's being missed is that, as Krishna points out, is he being everything, whatever you value is actually him. So if you don't see what you value in the context of Krishna, that's illusion. Because it actually all is Krishna. So to see it as somewhere else, and then because of that, then that there's this idea that, oh no, we have to follow the Ayurveda like this or that, because, you know, the idea that there's material perfection. Right, all these scriptures are there just to help in devotional service. Right, because if you're sick, it's hard to do service. Therefore, then you're trying to see that you remain, you know, healthy. But the idea that this perfect health is a goal—that's now we've gotten to the mundane. Because the point is this: no, you just maintain how you know you have the system, you use it, it works, then great. know, if you use the system, it doesn't work, then it just means, as according to Ayurveda, it's just a karma vyadi. So it's just, it's going to last as long as it does. Like I remember once having something that one day, out of the blue, it just arrived. And then, you know, very, very, how you say, very strong. You know, very acute. And it lasted for 4 years. And one day, it just disappeared. Yeah.
You mean the disease?
Yeah. One day it came, unannounced, and one day it disappeared and didn't even say goodbye. You know, which is fine with me. I was saying, I tell you. No, I didn't. I didn't like that. So that's the thing. It's just the karma, it'll go. So always the thing is, oh, this one works, that works. No, it's just whenever it's supposed to work, it'll work. You could have used anything. You probably could have stood on your head and played harmonica and it would have gone away. You know? Kazoo would have been better. Yeah. Like that. Ocarinas.
I can't even stand on my head.
Huh?
I can't even stand on my
head. That's
why you're sick. Oh, yeah, so see, see. See, that's what you were saying. You know? So, that's the whole thing is, let's say you're supposed to be sick for a year. So, you're going to try one system that doesn't work. You try the next system, next system. Whichever one you're following when the year is up, you'll get better. You could have done the order any different way and this and that. It wouldn't matter. Whichever one you were using at that end part would have been the one that got rid of the disease. Does that make sense? So the point is Ayurveda is there to support health for Krishna consciousness. And Ayurveda is in such that it has this, the philosophy of the science of it is how you say, in line with Krishna consciousness. It's an apara vidya, so you can use it without Krishna consciousness, but you could also use it with. So therefore, we shouldn't use it against the spiritual aspects like that, you know, to try to establish perfection on material health, because it doesn't exist. Does that make sense? That's the problem. Yes? Jyotish means it has its place. Means, in other words, does in the kitchen, does a frying pan have a use? But would you choose that to boil rice, or rice or potatoes, or would you take a deeper pot that's not a, you know what I'm saying, like a soup pot or something? Right? So it means it has its place, but it doesn't mean now it's the panacea for everything. So now we use it on anything. You know, I'm going to pick my nose, so which side should I start with? Okay, then calculate and all this. Okay, moon's prominent. Okay, we'll start with the left. Oh no, sun's prominent. We'll start with the right. You know, we don't do that. You know what I'm saying? Vyasadeva mentioned as one of the 100 kinds of fools is someone who everything they look at according to astrology.
I know quite a few.
Yeah, so that's the whole point. So all it is that it's mundane. It's just Vedic mundane. You know, which if at one time they get purified enough and take up Krishna consciousness, then it'll adjust.
Those are devotees.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about when they become interested in pure devotion. So it's the Vedic culture is meant for assisting Krishna consciousness. You can also use it without Krishna consciousness, but following it nicely, so that's called piety. So in this case, then you have mixed devotional service, because some aspects of the life are devotional, so like they're chanting and other things. But then something like the astrology or Ayurveda or Vastu or whatever it is that they get into, then these things can distract them, and the purpose in that's not necessarily, pure devotion. For some, it's just a way to make money. For some, it's a position or authority. So some, it's like, you know, oh, they'll get benefit from it, so it's karma, you know, on that side. So you just have to see is that. So you do have the aspect of, you know, in one sense you could say it's better that they're into Ayurveda and making a trip out of that than out of, let's say, New Age nutritional diets. but at the same time, as it's obvious, New Age nutritional diets may not be necessarily pure devotion. But the other one, because it's Ayurveda and it's Vedic, so therefore it's as good as, right? You know, that's the problem, is they're thinking that it's the same. But that's the isn't that the eighth offense or ninth offense? Consider the chanting and the activities of Karmakanda. Which one? Ninth. Yes. Yeah. And so that then is actually kind of there, because they're thinking, no, well, without this, if everyone's not good health, who can do service? And, you know, so they put that first. You know, if it's not an auspicious time, then no one will be, you know, they'll get a good effect of this. You know, so you get all these things. You know, without management, then you won't be. Or unless everybody's nice and it has good qualities, then it won't be. So that's all. They're just different varieties of distraction from pure devotion. So it has its place that you can use it, right? But other than that, it's not necessary to use it. Does that make sense? You know, so like that. You have, you know, general rules. You follow that, then you're good. You know, but let's say for marriages, that's a place where we would use it. But then you're supposed to use it before you start an arrangement, not afterwards. And then after you see that it's not good, then going, oh, we're devotees, we're transcendental, and, you know, like that. Devotional service is stronger than these things. And suddenly now we're transcendental. Right? You know.
Yeah. Funny how that works.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah.
I mean, it's funny how that doesn't work.
Yeah, yes. Well, it's funny how that modes of nature make it work like that, but yeah. So that specifically we would use it for. And then it's used to calculate, you know, when are Ekadasis, when's Janmashtami, when are all these different festivals. That's the main thing of it. Because it's called Jyotish, means the Panchang, means where are all the planets situated, so therefore then what activities are supposed to be done due to that. That's the actual main body. That's the hard science of the, you know, the astrological aspect. Does that make sense? And then, you know, trying to figure out the future, when you're going to get rich and famous, these are secondary. They're not actually the primary. Does that make sense? So it has its position. But the problem is the modern, they take it that the birth chart is the main thing, and the Panchang to figure out, you know, where the planets are and that is just to assist that, when it's actually the other way around. But don't bring that up to an astrologer. They'll get very, very upset. They cannot digest it. They absolutely can't. Like that. You know, because it says here, there is disturbance in the metabolism. The secretions turn into kapha, mucus. Right? Yeah. So they can't digest it, so you don't want to, you know. Yeah. So you just don't bother. Yeah, because that is like that, because of the planets, that's why he took up Krishna consciousness. What they haven't caught is that the planets go through this cycle of 120 years every 120 years. So if it's just the planet being in that position is why you took up Krishna consciousness, why we didn't take up Krishna consciousness in the last 151 trillion years. Right? Because the 151 trillion years, there is a lot of 120 year cycles of the planet. So that means that planet was going all the time. So if that's the planet, that's the problem. They think they can judge everything, tell everything, to all the things you're going to do in Krishna. They can't tell.
But wait a minute. Let's say you did take Krishna consciousness because of this planet, just hypothetically.
Okay.
And then when the planet goes in a different direction or whatever, different house,
okay,
then we lose it.
Then that means, yeah, we should lose Krishna consciousness.
And then we do it again the next life and the next life. So it makes some sense.
That's it. The thing is the planets are controlling the modes of nature. What does the modes of nature have to do with Krishna consciousness?
Nothing.
Yeah. So they say, oh, gee, yes, we could do that for a long time. But the difficulty is that they'll be too much emphasis on that. you know, because we're always trying to get material perfection. But the point is material perfection can't be obtained. So therefore, you only use it as a support. But much of the time, those who get into this think you can actually create a perfect. And they'll drive themselves and everybody else nuts trying to get that.
Isn't it worse than that? Isn't it saying that karma dictates bhakti?
Yes, of course. That's the problem with all these.
Bhakti comes from bhakti, not from planets.
Yes. So that's the difficulty, is they get distracted.
Yeah.
But because it's Vedic and it's Shastric, you know, so it's the mode of goodness, then one gets conditioned by goodness. But one has to understand bhakti is above goodness, it's pure goodness. So it doesn't have that aspect. So that's the position of faith, is that it's about bhakti. And then these things are all useful things. Like varnashram is useful as a social tool, but you don't use it for other things to decide who's giving class or something, or who's leading the kirtan, or you know what I'm saying? Everything has its place. The problem is that if we get into it, we use it for everything. Right? So that's the difficulty. You know, like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he's an astrologer. But, you know, being into pure devotion, then he's not practicing that. But it didn't mean that he didn't know that certain times, and that, like Thursday afternoon, he would never travel. You know? Does that make sense? So it's just that because of the what is it? I don't even remember the names of it. But you have these Kalbela and all these different kinds of things. That's not necessarily known as much in the how it's practiced in North India. I mean, South still knows a little bit about it, but it's actually when you go back into the Vedic. And so then you get these particular things, then you know it's always there like that because of certain things. So it's just, you just don't use it. You know, so you'd be careful about those kind of things. Or Abhijit, you know, the mid part of the day, like that. You know, it's that part is always auspicious to start something. You know, it's such that it's even considered as a nakshatra, practically. You know, it has its own state.
Right.
But, you know, you don't really hear many people talking about that. You know what I'm saying? These are just general things like that. And Prabhupada mentioned the Konar Bacha. That Konar, she took all the different astrological things she was very expert in and made it into little phrases like that, so that the general people could use it in the practical points in their life. Like when to do things and when all these kind of things like that. But have you ever seen anyone publish it? It's in Bengali. You know, so that's the thing, is that it's just not that kind of simplicity. It has to be this all technical and this and that and so many things like that. And you know, they start off and go, oh, this is bad and this and that. And then they look at more and, oh, okay, well, maybe this. Then they keep going, oh, wow, this is fabulous. You know, but they then don't open your mouth till you come to fabulous.
Yes.
You know, that's the rule.
It's a good rule. It's a good sutra. Don't open your mouth until you come to fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the thing, is that you say these things, then you're not supposed to deal with them. So you have to see it's a balance. If you can use it nicely, then it's great. But if you're going to dictate everything, and, oh, we can't go to class now, the guy went by with the bucket, and what does that got to do with anything? Sorry?
Black cat.
Yeah, black cat. Yeah. So the whole point comes down to is it's pure devotion. So we're bringing up the point that the acharyas understand these things and they're good at these things. You know, probably even mentions that they know very good in astrology and all these different astronomy and these kind of things. And so that's why they make those comments. You know, like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is very good at cooking. So therefore you see he lists all the things that they're eating and everything like that. So he knows these are real menus. These are real preparations. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we follow in their footsteps, and from that, then if we can use the science to in Krishna consciousness, then great. But if it's only going to distract us from Krishna consciousness, then better we just stick to chanting and other direct activities. So. Thereafter, the Lord went to Gaya. There he met Srila Ishwara Puri. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Gaya to offer respectful oblations to his forefathers. This process is called Pindadana. In Vedic society, after the death of a relative, especially one's father or mother, one must go to Gaya and there offer oblations to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. Therefore, hundreds and thousands of men gather at Gaya daily to offer such oblations or shraddha. Following this principle, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also went there to offer pinda to his dead father. Fortunately, he met Ishwara Puri there.
They still do that,
right? Yes. Yeah. It's called Vishnupada. It's happening. In Gaya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was initiated by Ishwara Puri, and immediately afterwards he exhibited signs of love of Godhead. He again displayed such symptoms after returning home. Srila Prabhupada. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Gaya, accompanied by many of his disciples, he became sick on the way. He had such a high fever that he asked his students to bring water that had washed the feet of the brahmanas. And when they brought it, the Lord drank it and was cured. Therefore, everyone should respect the position of a brahmana, as indicated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Neither the Lord nor his followers displayed any disrespect to brahmanas. The followers of the Lord must be prepared to offer brahmanas all due respect. But preachers of Lord Chaitanya's cult object if someone presents himself as a brahmana without having the necessary qualifications. The followers of Lord Chaitanya cannot blindly accept that everyone born in a brahman family is a brahmana. Therefore, one should not indiscriminately follow the Lord's example by showing respect to brahmanas by drinking water that has washed their feet. Gradually, the brahman families have become degraded because of the contamination of Kali Yuga. Thus, they misguide people by exploiting their sentiments. Like that. So you see, if someone's acting as a brahman, then that's the position. So brahmins are always respected. Even if someone's saying they're a brahman, but you deal properly with them and all that, then you get a benefit for that because you're respecting the position of a brahman, even though they may not be in that. But it doesn't mean you listen to what they have to say or take the water from their feet. You just deal properly. Does that make sense? Yeah. Thereafter, the Lord delivered love of Krishna to his mother, Sachi Devi, nullifying her offense at the feet of a Dvaitacharya. Thus, there was a meeting with Advaitacharya, who later had a vision of the Lord's universal form. Srila Prabhupada. One day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting on the throne of Vishnu in the house of Srivas Prabhu. And in a mood of his own, he said, "My mother has offended the lotus feet of Advaitacharya. Unless she nullifies this offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, it will not be possible for her to achieve love of Krishna." Hearing this, all the devotees went to bring Advaitacharya there. While coming to see the Lord, Advaitacharya was glorifying the characteristics of Mother Sachi Devi, and thus upon arriving, he fell down on the ground in ecstasy. Then, under the instruction of Lord Chaitanya, Sachi Devi took advantage of this situation to touch Advaitacharya's lotus feet. Right, because he had fallen on the ground, had caught some like that. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very much pleased by his mother's action, and he said, "Now my mother's offense at the lotus feet of Advaitacharya has been rectified, as she may have love of Krishna without difficulty." By this example, Lord Chaitanya taught everyone that although one may be very much advanced in Krishna consciousness, if one offends the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, his advancement will not bear fruit. We should therefore be very cautious not to offend a Vaishnava. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita has described such an offense as follows. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 19.156. As a mad elephant may trample all the plants in a garden, So by committing one offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, one may spoil all the devotional services he has accumulated in his life. After this incident, one day, Advaitacharya requested Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to display the universal form he had very kindly shown Arjuna. Lord Chaitanya agreed to this proposal, and Advaitacharya was fortunate enough to see the universal form of the Lord. Right, so he sees that respect for the Brahmanas is there, that respect, you know, that avoiding offenses at, you know, to the Vaishnavas. So these are very essential parts of the Krishna consciousness movement. Like that. And so that's then, because we're trying to please Krishna. So Krishna, then for him, the devotees, the Brahmanas, because the Brahmanas means those who are practicing properly, they're performing the duties that would be done. And they're giving the example and keeping the society in the mode of goodness. But then it's just a matter of it's another stage to get to the Vaishnava platform. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. 1.17.11. Srivas Thakur then worshipped Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the process of Abhishek. Sitting on a cot, the Lord exhibited transcendental opulence. Srila Prabhupada. Abhishek is a special function for the installation of the deity. In this ceremony, the deity is bathed with milk and water and then worshipped and given a change of dress. This Abhishek function was especially observed at the house of Srivas. All the devotees, according to their means, worshipped the Lord with all kinds of paraphernalia, and the Lord gave benedictions to each devotee according to his desire. 1.17.12. After this function at the house of Srivas Thakur, Nityananda Prabhu appeared, and when he met with Lord Chaitanya, he got the opportunity to see him in his sixth-armed form. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Nityananda Prabhu was born in the village of Ekachakra, in the district of Birbhum, as the son of Padmavati and Harai Pandit. In his childhood, he played like Balaram. When he was growing up, a sannyasi came to the house of Harai Pandit and begged to have the Pandit's son as his brahmachari assistant. Harai Pandit immediately agreed and delivered his son to him, although the separation was greatly shocking, so much so that Harai lost his life after the separation. Nityananda Prabhu traveled on many pilgrimages with the sannyasi. It is said that for many days he lived at Mathura with him, and at that time he heard about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in Navadvipa. Therefore he came down to Bengal to see the Lord. When Lord Nityananda came to Navadvipa, he was the guest at the house of Nandana Acharya. Understanding that Nityananda Prabhu had arrived, Lord Chaitanya sent his devotees to him, and thus there was a meeting between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. When you go down this road here, yeah, then on the right, that mat is where this Nandana Acharya's place was. 1.17.13-15. One day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited to Lord Nityananda Prabhu a six-armed form bearing a conch, disc, club, lotus flower, bow, and flute. Thereafter, the Lord showed him his forearm form, standing in a three-curved posture. With two hands, he played upon a flute, and in the other two, he carried a conch and disc. Like sometimes you see that deity in South India. Finally, the Lord showed Nityananda Prabhu his two-armed form of Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, simply playing on his flute, his bluish body dressed in yellow garments. So right, six arms, then he had a flute, and then all these others, then forearms, then only conch and disc, and the flute, and then the last, just the flute. So, all slowly. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada. In Chaitanya Mangala, Madhya 11:60-78, vividly elaborates upon this description. Falling on the ground, Lord Gauranga offered obeisances to him. With sweet words, Lord Gauranga spoke auspicious prayers. Then Lord Nityananda fell before Lord Gaura's feet. They both tried to touch each other's feet. They embraced. They wept and wept. How many times did they embrace? They talked and laughed. They gazed at each other's graceful faces. Lord Nityananda said, I wandered the whole earth. Where were you? I could not find you. Finally, I heard that Nanda's son was hiding in Navadvipa in Gauradesh. I came to catch the thief. Now I have him in my grasp. Where will he flee to now? Saying these words, Lord Nityananda laughed, wept, and danced. Lord Gauranga joyfully danced at Nityananda's side. Lord Nityananda will crush Kali Yuga's pride. He will deliver the fallen, lame, blind, foolish, and everyone else. Right? It's already so bad. And then there's everyone else. Right? Lord Nityananda's power will purify the three worlds. The fools, sinners, and offenders do not know his power. Everyone will fall into Lord Nityananda's trap. Lord Gaurachanda spoke these words. When Lord Gaura happily performed Sankirtana of chanting Lord Hari's holy names, he danced and Lord Nityananda danced with him. When the dancing ended, they sat down together. Filled with bliss, everyone fixed their eyes on them. Then Lord Gaura took the dust from Lord Nityananda's feet and placed it on the devotees' heads. When the dust of Lord Nityananda's feet was placed on the devotees' heads, their hearts became filled with ecstatic spiritual love. Tears streamed from their eyes. In this way, the Lord enjoyed blissful pastimes moment after moment. Finally, Lord Gauranga, Sachi's son, returned to his own home. Walking on the paths, he described Lord Nityananda's glories. He said, "No one in the three worlds can compare with Lord Nityananda. Everyone here, please hear my words. Nityananda's love and devotion for Lord Krishna is not ordinary. First is born knowledge. Okay. After that, devotional service is born within one. After that, detachment from sense pleasure takes its birth. In this way, day by day, gradually one falls in love with Lord Krishna. Then one becomes advanced in spiritual life." So knowledge is born, then the devotion starts, then after that, detachment. Right? Because without the proper understanding of Krishna consciousness, it doesn't mean it's coming from beyond. It's coming from knowledge of devotional service, knowledge of the Lord, the position, and that. That's why you see the Sambandha Gyan is so much discussed, because by that, then one gets that faith, then one surrenders to Krishna, one takes up devotional service. Right? Then that devotional service being there, then one loses the taste for the material. Right? And so, like that, day by day, gradually one falls in love with Krishna. Nityananda Prabhu, because we have to remember, Nityananda Prabhu is in charge of, you know, the jnana and kriya aspects. Nityananda 1:17-16. Nityananda Prabhu then arranged to offer Vyas Puja, or worship of the spiritual master, to Lord Sri Gaurasundara. But Lord Chaitanya carried the plow-like weapon called Moshala in the ecstasy of being Nityananda Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada. By the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu arranged for the Vyas Puja of the Lord on the night of the full moon. He arranged for the Vyas Puja or Guru Puja through the agency of Vyasadeva. Since Vyasadeva is the original guru, spiritual master of all who follow the Vedic principles, worship of the spiritual master is called Vyas Puja. Nityananda Prabhu arranged for the Vyas Puja and Sankirtana was going on. But when he tried to put a garland on the shoulder of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saw himself in Lord Chaitanya. There's no difference between the spiritual positions of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, or Krishna and Balaram. All of them are but different manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. During this special ceremony, all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand that there is no difference between Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda Prabhu. 1:17, there's a mood difference, but otherwise their position is the same. 1:17:17. Thereafter, Mother Sachi Devi saw the brothers Krishna and Balaram in their manifestation of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. Then the Lord delivered the two brothers Jagai and Madhai. Srila Prabhupada. One night, Sachi Devi dreamt that the deities in her house, Krishna Balaram, had taken the forms of Chaitanya and Nityananda, and were fighting one another, as children do, to eat the naivedya, or offering to the deities. Right? So, those you put the naivedya there, and then Krishna Balaram fighting, who gets it? Right? The next day, by the will of Lord Chaitanya, Sachi Devi invited Nityananda to take prasadam at her house. Thus, Vishvambara, Lord Chaitanya, and Nityananda were eating together, and Sachi Devi realized that they were none other than Krishna and Balaram. Seeing this, she fainted. Jagai and Madai were two brothers born in Navadvip in a respectable Brahmin family, who later became addicted to all kinds of sinful activities. By the order of Lord Chaitanya, both Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur used to preach the cult of Krishna consciousness door to door. In the course of such preaching, they found Jagai and Madhai, two maddened, drunken brothers, who, upon seeing them, began to chase them. On the next day, Madhai struck Nityananda Prabhu on the head with a piece of earthen pot, thus drawing blood. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard of this, he immediately came to the spot, ready to punish both brothers. But when the all-merciful Lord Gauranga saw Jagai's repentant behavior, he immediately embraced him. By seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face and embracing him, both the sinful brothers were at once cleansed. Thus they received initiation into the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra from the Lord and were delivered. 117-18. After this incident, the Lord remained in an ecstatic position for 21 hours, and all the devotees saw his specific pastimes. Srila Prabhupada. In the deity's room, there must be a bed for the deity behind his throne. This system should immediately be introduced in all our centers. It does not matter whether the bed is big or small. It should be of a size the deity room can conveniently accommodate. But there must be at least a small bed. So, yeah, because putting the deities to rest, waking them up, is an important part of the program. One day in the house of Shiva's Thakur, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down on the bed of Vishnu, and all the devotees worshipped him with the Vedic mantras of the Purusha Shukta, beginning with Sahasra Shirsha Purusha, Sahasraksha Sahasrapad. This Vedic stuti should also be introduced, if possible, for installations of deities. While bathing the deity, all the priests and devotees must chant this Purusha Shukta and offer the appropriate paraphernalia for worshipping the deity, such as flowers, fruits, incense, artic paraphernalia, naivedya, vastra, and ornaments. Right, because when you're doing the regular puja, then each of the shukta has a paraphernalia that it goes with. So you're chanting that shloka, and then you're offering that item. No, that's for the shaligram worship. All the devotees worshipped Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this way, and the Lord remained in ecstasy for 7 praharas, or 21 hours. He took this opportunity to show the devotees that he is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is the source of all other incarnations. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 10.8, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Matas Sarvam Pravartate. All the different forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or Vishnu Tattva, emanate from the body of Lord Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exposed all the private desires of the devotees, and thus all of them became fully confident that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Some devotees call this exhibition of ecstasy by the Lord Satta Praharya Bhava, or the ecstasy of 21 hours, and others call it Mahabhava Prakasha, or Mahaprakash. There is a description of this Satta Praharya Bhava in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Kanda, Chapter 9, which mentions that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed a maidservant named Duki with the name Suki. He called for a Kolabecha Sridhar and showed him his Mahaprakash. Then he called for Marai Gupta and showed him his features, Lord Ramachandra. He offered his blessings to Haridas Thakur, and at this time he also asked Advaita Prabhu to explain the Bhagavad Gita as it is, Gitara Satya Pata, and showed special favor to Mukunda. Right, so everyone, according to their, he revealed their, you know, their inner thoughts in that. He fulfilled, you know, that he gave them blessings. He, you know, all these different aspects went on. 117.19. One day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt the ecstasy of the Bori incarnation and got up on the shoulders of Murari Gupta. Thus, they both danced in Murari Gupta's courtyard. Srila Prabhupada. One day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to cry out, Sukara, Sukara. Thus crying out for the Bori incarnation of the Lord, he assumed his form as the Bori incarnation and got up on the shoulders of Murari Gupta. He carried a small gadu, a small water pot with a nozzle, and thus he symbolically picked up the earth from the depths of the ocean. For this is the pastime of Lord Varaha. 1:17:20. After this incident, the Lord ate raw rice given by Shuklambara Brahmachari and explained very elaborately the import of Haryanama Shloka mentioned in the Brihan Naradiya Purana. Srila Prabhupada. Shuklambara Brahmachari resided in Navadvipa on the bank of the Ganges. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in ecstasy, he approached the Lord with a begging bag containing rice. The Lord was so pleased with his devotee, he immediately snatched the bag and began to eat the raw rice. No one forbade him, and thus he finished the entire supply of rice. 1:17:21-24. Right, because he came and he offered, because the devotion, then he just took it and ate the whole thing. Lord Chaitanya said, in this age of Kali, there are no other means for self-realization than chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name of Lord Hari. In this age of Kali, the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is the incarnation of Lord Krishna. Simply by chanting the holy name, one associates with the Lord directly. Anyone who does this is certainly delivered. This verse repeats the word Eva, certainly, 3 times for emphasis. It also 3 times repeats Harir Nama, the holy name of the Lord, just to make common people understand. The use of the word Kevala only prohibits all other processes, such as the cultivation of knowledge, practice of mystic yoga, or performance of austerities and fruit of activities. Srila Prabhupada. Our Krishna consciousness movement stresses the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra only, whereas those who do not know the secret of success for this age of Kali unnecessarily indulge in the cultivation of knowledge, the practice of mystic yoga, or the performance of fruitive activities or useless austerities. They are simply wasting their time and misleading their followers. When we point this out very plainly to an audience, members of opposing groups become angry at us. But according to the injunctions of the Shastras, we cannot make compromises with these so-called jnanis, yogis, karmis, and tapasvis. When they say they are as good as we are, we must say that only we are good and that they are not good. Yeah, good.
It is what it is.
Yeah. This is not our obstinacy. It is the injunction of the Shastras. We must not deviate from the injunctions of the Shastras. This is confirmed in the next verse of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. 1:17:25-28. Lord Chaitanya continued, this verse very clearly states that anyone who accepts any other path cannot be delivered, right? Because you can only get pure devotion by following the path of pure devotion, right? Karma gives karma, jnana gives jnana, yoga gives pretzels, like that, yeah.
Colorful pants. The culture around.
Oh, okay. This is the reason for the triple repetition, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else, which emphasizes the real process of self-realization. To chant the holy name always, one should be humbler than the grass in the street and devoid of all desire for personal honor, but one should offer others all respectful obeisances. A devotee engaged in chanting the holy name of the Lord should practice forbearance like that of a tree, even if rebuked or chastised. He should not say anything to others to retaliate. For even if one cuts a tree, it never protests. And even if it is drying up and dying, it does not ask anyone for water. Srila Prabhupada. This practice of forbearance, taror iva sahishnuna, is very difficult. But when one actually engages in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, the quality of forbearance automatically develops. A person advanced in spiritual consciousness through the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra need not practice to develop it separately, for a devotee develops all good qualities simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra regularly. So that's the meaning when it says no other process is necessary. Means that to develop all these good qualities, you know, that are used in Krishna consciousness, it's only by the devotional process, only by chanting that you gain these. They're not a separate practice. So you don't have to separately try to develop good qualities. By chanting the process and by following the Vaishnava etiquette, then you'll see that itself will give opportunity for practicing all these things. So 1:17:29-31. Lord Chaitanya continued, "Thus, a Vaishnava should not ask anything from anyone else. If someone gives him something without being asked, he should accept it. But if nothing comes, the Vaishnava should be satisfied to eat whatever vegetables and fruits are easily available. One should strictly follow the principle of always chanting the holy name. And one should be satisfied with whatever he gets easily." Because that's the point, is one has to be satisfied. That's the whole point of the we see the material culture, is they're always trying to agitate people to not be satisfied. Right? You perform your work, whatever comes easily by that work, that facility you have, then Lord Chaitanya see, be satisfied with that, because that's what comes. If you get agitated and want more, it doesn't mean you'll get more. Right? Because if by being disturbed and endeavoring for more, you actually got more, then everyone on the planet would have more, right?
And be disturbed.
Yeah.
If you got more.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing, but yeah. But the point is it's not working. So that's why for the Vaishnavas, they're just being practical. They're focusing on the spiritual development. They perform their duties. What comes by those performance of duties, that's what they're satisfied with, rather than the other way around. You know, it's not like you say, okay, we need this much and then work. It's that you perform your duties and what comes from that, that's what then you use. Does that make sense? So it's very practical, because the focus is on the holy name. Otherwise, then one gets distracted and gets into other things. And they're getting into these other things, then generally they give other fruits other than love of God. Strange, but true. Such devotional behavior solidly maintains one devotional service, right? Because you're trying to maintain the devotional service. And then whatever is there to support, that's what you use. So sometimes it may be more, sometimes less. But the point is that it's the devotional service that will be steady. On the material platform, nothing's steady. Yes? Why? No one will give it to us, then where will get it from? Yeah, but then who will give it?
Krishna
will give it. So why do you say Krishna can't, nobody can give it? Oh, without an effort. But the whole point is that but where is that effort applied? See, that's the key that we're talking about. It's within the chanting process, within the devotional process. There you're applying the good qualities. It's not that you're practicing separately than Krishna consciousness these good qualities. Because otherwise, the karmis have those kind of qualities. So, and Krishna's not giving them love of God. So it's not the attainment's not of the qualities. The attainment is of devotion, right? So here you have to always see is that you have to what is the mentality that's going on that a preacher would then speak in a particular way, right? So now if you see that devotees are making no endeavor to behave nicely, and they're just saying, oh, we chant, we don't care for any of this, then you have to try to say is no. It means you're supposed to try to behave nicely like a gentleman. Right? Because for someone who's not a gentleman, trying to behave like a gentleman is a big trouble.
Yes.
So it's very easy to just say, oh, we chant, we don't care for all these things, that's all Maya. Because they're uncultured. So being uncultured is the easy path for them. You know, and then they're just taking that now it's because I proclaim this, now it's Krishna conscious. So if you have a case like that, then they have to put the emphasis, you have to endeavor for the good. But how are you endeavoring? Not through karma, not through jnana, not through yoga. You're making that endeavor in Krishna consciousness to apply the principles of Krishna consciousness. Right? Does that make sense? So everyone talks about being nice. What about being forbearing? So a lot of times the people that talk about being nice, if something goes wrong, they're not forbearing. And if you're forbearing, they take advantage of it. You know what I'm saying? So Prabhupada's showing the practical thing, how you practice these things. You have to be humble anyway. You have to be focused. You have to be determined. You have to be to do your devotional service. So that's where you're making the endeavor. It's not a separate endeavor that you're trying just for humility. Does that make sense? But sometimes it must be emphasize this effort in those who say we don't need to make an effort. You know, they'll say, oh, we just chant, but are you just chanting? You know what I'm saying? Because in other words, we'll say we just chant. So they'll chant their rounds. That's 2 hours a day. What about the other 22 hours? You know, so they're endeavoring for so many things. So why aren't they endeavoring to try to please Krishna by their proper behavior? Does that make sense? So you have to see, is that's why sometimes in certain situations that the different preachers are speaking differently is because of the particular audience or the environment or these kind of things. Does that make sense?
The main thing is always to remember that the primary is devotional service.
The primary is devotional service. And these other things, they can be supportive and useful if you use them to support devotional service. But if you don't use them for devotional service, then they're not so useful. Does that make sense? You get distracted too easily. Right. So when we're saying about this, we're meaning pure devotional service has to be the primary point. Then you add to it what is recommended. One should strictly follow the principle of always chanting the holy name, and one should be satisfied with whatever he gets easily. Such devotional behavior solidly maintains one's devotional service. One who thinks himself lower than the grass, who is more tolerant than a tree, and who does not expect personal honor, yet is always prepared to give all respect to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada. The grass is specifically mentioned in this verse because everyone tramples upon it, yet the grass never protests. This example indicates that a spiritual master or leader should not be proud of his position, being always humbler than an ordinary common man. He should go on preaching the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Right, so he's pointing out here, it's everyone. So here's even a spiritual leader or a spiritual master, like that. Then they should not be proud of their position. 1.17.32. Srila Krishna Kaviraj Goswami continues, raising my hands, I declare, everyone, please hear me. String this verse on the thread of the holy name and wear it on your neck for continuous remembrance. Srila Prabhupada. When chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, in the beginning one may commit many offenses, which are called Namabhasa and Namaparad. In this stage there is no possibility of achieving perfect love of Krishna by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Therefore one must chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra according to the principles of the above verse. Trinadapi suni chena toror iva sahishnuna. One should note in this connection that chanting involves the activities of the upper and lower lips as well as the tongue. All these three must be engaged in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The words Hare Krishna should be very distinctly pronounced and heard. Sometimes one mechanically produces a hissing sound instead of chanting with the proper pronunciation with the help of the lips and the tongue. Chanting is very simple. One must practice it seriously. Therefore, the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami, advises everyone to keep this verse always strung around his neck. Because right? Then if you have that attitude, then the chanting goes very nicely. 1.17.33-35. One must strictly follow the principles given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this verse. If one simply follows in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya and the Goswamis, certainly he will achieve the ultimate goal of life, the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu regularly led congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in the house of Srivas Thakur every night for one full year. This ecstatic chanting was performed with the doors closed so that non-believers who came to make fun could not gain entrance. Srila Prabhupada. Chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is open to everyone, but sometimes non-believers come to disturb the ceremony of chanting. It is indicated herein that under such circumstances the temple doors should be closed. Only bona fide chanters should be admitted. Others should not. Right? It means anybody is open to everybody, but it means everybody who wants to be a bona fide chanter. It's not that it's a, you know, those who want to make trouble, they're not allowed. But when there is a large-scale congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, we keep our temples open for everyone to join. And by the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this policy has given good results. 1:17:36-38. Thus the non-believers almost burned to ashes and died out of envy. To retaliate, they planned various ways to give trouble to Srivas Thakur, right? Because they couldn't get into his house, so then they're making all kinds of plans how to give trouble to Srivas Thakur. One night, while kirtan was going on inside Srivas Thakur's house, a Brahmin named Gopal Chapala, the chief of the non-believers, who was talkative and very rough in his speech, placed all the paraphernalia for worshipping the goddess Durga outside Srivas Thakur's door. Srila Prabhupada. This Brahmin, Gopal Chapala, wanted to defame Srivas Thakur by proving that he was actually a Shakta, a worshiper of Bhavani, the goddess Durga, but was externally posing as a Vaishnava. In Bengal, there is a perpetual competition between devotees of goddess Kali and the devotees of Lord Krishna. Right, so, like you see, is when there's Ras Purnima, because Ras Purnima is about Krishna. And you see at the same time in Navadvip they have this huge Kali puja, making these huge deities and making a whole scene. So this is what is being talked about. Generally, Bengalis, especially those who are meat eaters and drunkards, are very much attached to worshipping the goddess Durga, Kali, Shitala, and Chandi. Such devotees who are known as Shaktas, or worshippers of the Shakti Tattva, are always envious of Vaishnavas. Since Srivas Thakur was a well-known and respected Vaishnava in Navadvip, Gopal Chapala wanted to reduce his prestige by bringing him down to the platform of the Shaktas. Therefore, outside Srivas Thakur's door, he placed various paraphernalia for worshipping Bhavani, the wife of Lord Shiva, such as a red flower, a plantain leaf, a pot of wine, and reddish sandalwood paste. 1:17:39-42.
This reddish sandalwood paste mentioned in several places, is it a mixture of sandalwood and color, so it's just red sandalwood?
It's red sandalwood. Means it's a different kind of sandalwood. It's red, so it's considered the mode of passion. Generally, we always use the white one.
Yeah.
But here, then, the Shaktas seem to specifically use that. You sometimes see the kings are using the red sandalwood. So it must be there's some element of passion to it. While the white one, then that takes out the hot airs in the body. That's why you see Prabhupada put it on even in winter, because it removes the hot airs from the body. It balances. And that. On the upper portion of a plantain leaf, he places such paraphernalia for worship as odafula, turmeric, vermilion, red sandalwood, and rice. He placed a pot of wine beside all of this, and in the morning when Srivas Thakur opened his door, he saw this paraphernalia. Srivas Thakur called for all the respectable gentlemen of the neighborhood and smiling addressed them as follows. Gentlemen, every night I worship the goddess Bhavani. Since the paraphernalia for the worship is present here, now all you respectable brahmanas and members of the higher caste can understand my position. Srila Prabhupada. According to the Vedic system, there are four castes, the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. And below them are the Panchamas, literally members of the fifth group, who are lower than the Shudras. The higher castes, so we have a name now. The higher castes, Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas, and even the Vaishyas, were known as Brahmana Sajjana. The Brahmanas especially were known as Sajjana, or respectable gentlemen, who guided the entire society. for there were disputes in the village. People would approach these respectable brahmanas to settle them. Now it is very difficult to find such brahmanas and sadjanas. And thus every village and town is so disrupted that there is no peace and happiness anywhere. To revive a fully cultured civilization, the scientific division of society into Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras must be introduced all over the world. Unless some people are trained as Brahmanas, there cannot be peace in human society. They say, to revive a fully cultured civilization. So we talk about culture, the civilization, community. It can only be done if Varnashram is established. It's probably said here must. It's just because that's how it works. That's the mechanics of it. It's like saying, unless you go into the kitchen and using the pots and pans and ingredients, unless you therefore following the rules of culinary rules, then you won't get a cooked meal. You know, so it's just a fact. It's not a thing of just, oh, that's the you can't get it. Because unless it's divided, people don't know what they should do, and therefore doing something they shouldn't do, then they and others will be disturbed. But if everyone's doing what they should do, then naturally everything goes smoothly. Yes.
So the definition of a dvija is someone who follows the Vedic injunctions to the best of their ability?
Yes. Okay. Dvija is Brahma Kshatriya Vaishya. Yeah. Like that. Means they're specifically following the rules and then taking a lead in either education, administration, or economics. Because the Shudras then, according to their particular art that they're good at, they'll assist the others, either directly, which is the natural form, or indirectly by producing those things that are useful in the Brahminical culture.
But we don't particularly expect them to be able to follow the Vedic injunctions. Or
who? The Shudras.
The Shudras, yeah.
Means if they do, it's nice.
Yeah.
But if they don't, then that's why the Shudras.
Yeah.
Like that. But they're not opposed to it. It's just they may not be very good at it and all that. While the Panchamas generally have a tendency that they either don't know about it or don't care about it or are even opposed to it, depending upon which group they're in. You know, they're Malechas, they're Yavanas, they're, you know, like this. So.
Resolving the dispute in the village.
Yes, because they know the scriptures and they know the culture, so then they can try to help.
This means it's a little like disputing anything. It can be economics.
It could be any kind of thing. It basically means in the village level, you're just trying to get the two parties to understand the position and therefore be able to cooperate. It's not necessarily they're sitting there as a judge and doing
yes,
that. It
yes.
just means that they're trying to give the proper understanding.
Yes.
So they're educating them
yes.
and trying to lead them through what would be the proper understanding. Right? When you come higher than that, up to
yes.
the city level, then you have people that specifically do that.
Yes. Yes.
You know, because then it will go to bigger things. So if you can't work it out there, then you can take it up to these higher ones. But otherwise, all the villages, because they have Brahmins living there and that, then they'd have the advantage of this kind of thing, and the villages were peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
People are trained, everything goes peace nicely. Yeah. Yeah.
The difference
between Malecha, Yavana, and Yavana, is it in mentality or in the mentality? No, it's a mentality. See, Malecha means a meat eater. Yavana means someone opposed to the Vedic culture. So much of the time a Yavana is a meat eater, but you could be not a meat eater and still be a Yavana.
Vegan.
Vegan. Yeah, sometimes you see they're very opposed to vegetarians, opposed to, you know, offering dairy things to the deities and this and that. So that's a Yavana mentality. Even though they may be pious and they're not meat eaters. But the point is when you're opposed to the Vedic version or you don't want Varnashram, these are Yavana mentalities. Right? But as devotees, then we try to give them up, and by the chanting process we be purified, so then they gradually go away. But for those who aren't devotees, then they would generally be, you know, they can be categorized like this. Is that, yeah? Can it wait till Monday? Okay, because we should end now, otherwise it gets too late.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.